Good morning. Can you hear me? All right. I have what Jimmy Savile called a pale pink voice, so I always have to have the mic practically in my mouth, but I hope you can hear me. I don't know about you, but I always get very emotional when I see someone baptized, and I think about the rejoicing there is in heaven whenever one person repents. And we've seen at least three persons repent, or to demonstrate that they have repented this morning. And as usual, it's maybe a bit emotional. But funny, when I thought about talking today, I thought about standing on the platform, which is normally there. I can't do that today, can I? I suppose if my faith was really strong, I could walk on the water. But I think I'll stay here. I've got a song of praise. When I was asked to speak today, my subject was Psalm 10. Now, let's see if I can make this work. Press that. No. Green thing lit up. Okay. I'm deaf to all sorts of technical equipment. Yeah, it's lit up now. Thank you. Yeah. We're doing a series of talks on the Psalms. When I think about Psalms, I think of them as songs of praise. Well, quite a few of them are that, but really the songs have every possible emotion in them. There are despair, there's anger, and of course there's praise and joy and peace as well. Quite a few Psalms start off saying, "Please God, help me, I'm in terrible trouble." But they usually then finish up by saying, "I do believe that you will help me, God, and I will praise your name forever." But as I say, when I was first asked to speak today, my subject was given as Psalm 10. Now, Psalm 10, the person that wrote Psalm 10 was not a happy bunny. So he starts off, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" And he goes on about this for quite a while. He really is in a terrible place. And at the end, he does manage to say, "I still do believe in you, God," or words to that effect. But really, you can tell it's a bit of an effort for him. Really, he's telling God off, and he's saying, "Why? Where are you, God, when I need you?" And I think we've all been there, haven't we? We're thinking that God is not answering our prayers and doesn't much care. I'm sure there is a sermon to be got from Psalm 10, but I don't think it would be very uplifting. So Doug Preston is a very kind man, so he made a very small change to my brief. Well, hold on. Oh, yes. He added a 3 on the end, which... Now, Psalm 103 is a completely different kettle of fish. Psalm 103 is a psalm of praise, pure and simple. And as we've heard, it starts off, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." So he's telling himself that he should praise God. And he goes on to tell himself all the reasons why he should praise God. So he should praise God that because he can forgive me for the things I've done wrong. He praised God because he has the power to heal. Now, I know God doesn't always heal our ailments, but we believe in the power of prayer, and we believe that we have seen people healed, and we've seen healing in our own lives. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. A lot of people have got themselves into very deep pits because of addiction or because of submitting to temptation of all the evil things that it's possible to do in this world. And certainly a lot of people would need help to get out of those pits But I think the psalmist is also talking about that terrible pit, hell, that awaits us all if we don't put ourselves right with God before we die. He crowns you with love and compassion. God loves you. I don't think any of us can understand how much God loves us. And he has compassion for us. He feels for us. If things are wrong in our lives, he wants to help. He wants to put them right. He wants the best for our life. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. A lot of people think that when you become a Christian, what you get is a long list of things that you can't do anymore and that you're totally restricted and you can't have any fun. Well, there is a small list. It's called the Ten Commandments. And it starts off by saying, love the Lord your God. And then it says things like, thou shalt not kill. Well, I hope none of us have killed anybody or wanted to, but sometimes we're tempted, aren't we? But these are, you know, they're not really that restrictive, the Ten Commandments. They're just sensible rules, you know. If you don't go about killing somebody, you know, it's probably your life is going to be better than if you do. And Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it to the full. Jesus wants us to live a full life, a fulfilled life. And it won't always be free of troubles, but it will have peace because we know that Jesus is with us. So we praise God because he can forgive us for the things we've done wrong, because he has the power to heal, because he can put right what's wrong in my life, because he loves me and feels for me. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, and he wants the best for my life. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. So again, he's saying, he forgives me for the things I've done wrong. He doesn't expect me to be perfect, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. You hear of people who say, I'm not ready to turn to God yet. I've got to get my life sorted out first. That's not right. When you come to God, you come just as you are, warts and all, and then God will help you to sort out your life. We're none of us perfect, whether we're Christian or no, and we never will be this side of heaven. But God will help us to be better, to be more like him. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. God loves me forever. The people you love and the people who love you are mortals like you. The people you lean on, you won't have their support forever because we all die. But God doesn't die. His support, his love goes on forever. God loves you just the way you are. Nothing you have done, nothing you are going to do can stop God loving you. He doesn't love some of the things we do, but he loves us and he wants the best for us. And towards the end of the psalm it says, praise the Lord, all his works. His works, what's that? Well, it's everything. God made the world. He made all the animals, the birds, and he made me and you. So that's a very good reason to praise him, isn't it? If it wasn't for God, if he hadn't made the world, if he hadn't made me, I shouldn't be here at all. I shouldn't be enjoying this life that I have. So I can praise him for that. Notice that the man who wrote Psalm 103 doesn't say, I praise you because I've got a nice house and lots of food to eat. He doesn't say, I praise you because I was ill and now I'm well. He doesn't even say, I praise you because I've met this wonderful woman and we're going to get married. We don't know anything about this man or what his circumstances were, because this prayer is all about God. I would expect that the man who wrote Psalm 103, his life was going pretty well when he wrote it, but the reasons he gives for praising God are true whatever his circumstances, in good times and in bad. When he's lying on his deathbed, these are still very good reasons to praise God. And we're good reasons for us to praise God as well, however our life is going. In fact, we have even more reason to praise God, because we're living in 2014 AD. That means Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. That means we're living after Jesus was born on earth and came to show us God's love to us. And he showed that love by dying on the cross for us, to pay the price for all the wrong things we have done so that we could be forgiven. Jesus showed us this God who will forgive me for the things I've done wrong if I ask him, who has the power to heal, who can put right what is wrong in my life, who can save me from hell, who loves me and feels for me, who wants the best for my life. This God doesn't expect me to be perfect, but will take me just as I am. And I'm so grateful for that, because we'd none of us get into heaven if we had to be perfect first, would we? God loves me in spite of the wrong things that I've done, and in spite of the wrong things that I'm still going to do in the rest of my life. This is the God who made the world, the God who made me and you. This is the God that we worship in this church and that millions of people all around the world worship. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if being a Christian meant that all your problems disappeared and the rest of your life was sunny, no problems. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. Christians get ill. Christians lose loved ones. Christians fall on hard times. Jesus said, just remember to put these things up. That's it. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Ultimately, Jesus is in charge of your life and the world, however things appear at the moment. Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus also said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. With Jesus, it is possible to have peace, whatever your circumstances of your life are at the moment. The joy and peace that comes from knowing Jesus is not a life without problems, but from knowing that we don't have to face them alone. Jesus is with us, guiding us, helping us, wanting the best for our lives. And of course, Christians die like everyone else. But Jesus had something to say about that as well. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Jesus can take away the fear of death that we all have. What happens after I die? Is there really a hell? And am I going to go there? Jesus says, I can take you to be where I am in heaven. The best known psalm, of course, is the 23rd psalm. And I think the reason it's so popular is it's full of this peace and joy that comes from knowing that God is with you and that he loves you. So he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That last verse is surely the best. Surely your goodness and love will follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How about you? Do you know that God is with you and that he loves you? I'm very fond of spy novels. I'm not particularly fond of those when they get violent and gory. I like the ones where it's concentrating on the plots and counterplots and plots within plots. And John le Carré writes spy books like that. And I've read all his. And Len Deighton has read written some cracking novels as well. And I've read most of those. If you haven't read the books, you probably or may have seen on television Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy with Alec Guinness as Smiley, looking sad. And I always think of George Smiley as looking like Alec Guinness after that. But one of the early spy novels of John le Carré was called The Spy Who Came In From the Cold. And it starts off as a very simple plot. There's a British agent working in East Germany during the Cold War. And he's working alone. He's surrounded by hostile forces. He's in constant fear of being captured and the terrible things that might happen to him after that. And the strain is beginning to show. So at last, the order comes from control in London. We think you've had enough. Come home, come and rest. And of course, the plot thickens nicely after that, and nothing happens according to plan, but that was the original idea. I went to Sunday school when I was a child, and I was told all about Jesus and God, and I believed it all in the simple way that a child believes these things. But then, for some reason, when I was 16, I decided I didn't need God in my life anymore. And I became an atheist for 30 years. I turned my back upon God and didn't want anything to do with him. But of course, God didn't turn his back on me. And eventually, he brought me back into the fold. Now when I think of that time, I think of it as my time in the wilderness. The Israelites had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. I got off lightly. I only had 30 years in the wilderness. But now, when I think of those years, they seem very bleak and cold. And my return to Jesus seems like coming home, coming in out of the cold. I'm the guy who came in out of the cold. I wonder now how I ever managed to live without Jesus in my life. How did I go 30 years without any order or pattern to my life, and without knowing where I was going, where I was going to end up? But praise the Lord, he brought me back. And now I see the benefits of having Jesus with me. And I think if you're trying to live your life this morning, today, without God, without Jesus, I believe that Jesus is speaking to you this morning, and he's saying, come home. Come in out of the cold. Come just as you are. Come and rest in me. I do hope that you haven't, if you haven't made that decision, that you will make it soon, maybe this morning, because God is waiting for you. Jesus is waiting for you with his arms out wide, stretched out wide. He won't punish you or criticize you for the things you've done wrong. He will forgive you, and he will make you one of his own. If you want to make that decision today, I'm going to say a prayer that you could say with me in your heart. And if you say it in your heart, then you will be returning to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I've tried to live without you in my life, and I realize now that I do need you so much. I'm sorry that I turned my back on you. I'm sorry for all the wrong things that I did. I ask you to forgive me for all those wrong things, and I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to guide me. I ask you to help me. I ask you to love me, as I know you do. And I ask you to be there with me for the rest of my life. And I ask you that when I die, I may be considered fit to come into your heaven. Come to me today, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our last song is expressing